Thank you.
Don't start rushing me.
What, have I got the right rucksack?
Yes, rucksack.
Oh, I know. I don't zip it all. Come on, flower.
I'm coming.
Ready.
The three women walking in front of me who have just managed to get themselves out of their B&B with an awful lot of fuss and bother about whose rucksack is whose and what they're wearing and what they need today are, between them, doing the coast-to-coast walk. They're doing it from west to east, so they'll end up right over in Robin Hood's Bay, having started off in St. Bees, right on the west coast. Well, the section that we're doing today is through the Lake District, from Grasmere over the top to Patterdale, which is very well populated with walkers, but as two of them will admit, they are not regulars on the walking paths of Great Britain. In fact, this is the first long distance walk that Chris Foster Navy and Sue Davis have ever done, and the reason they've undertaken this enormous walk is down to the enthusiasm and professionalism of Pani Johal, who's a tiny slip of a figure with a great big purple rucksack on her back and dark glasses on, because today
the sun's shining!
Today, girls, we've got sunny weather.
I know, it's superb.
I was just explaining that you're on day 4 of 20, and what's the weather been like so far?
Terrible. Wet. We had one morning that was quite like this, really nice, and the rest has just been teeming.
Yeah. Pani, just explain what you do.
Well, what I do is I lead treks, I lead adventure programs for women, mostly minority women. And how I met these two right here was in a cafe at Tynedrum, doing the West Highland Way with a group of women. And Chris looks at me and she goes, well, Chris, what did you say to me?
Well, when you walked in with these chunks of cake with four other girls, and I said, that's very naughty. And Pammy said, well, no, actually, we've walked 14 miles, so we deserve it. So then we carried on chatting, had a good laugh about it. And I was saying, I'd love to do that. And Sue said, well, yes, that would be a great idea. What do you suggest? And Pammy said, well, the coast to coast might be quite good. Not saying that others were easier, just that the coast to coast would be quite good.
And the coast to coast is 190 miles in total.
Yes, as the crow flies.
Right.
I'm going to shoot this crow. Because I found out he flies over the mountain, not up and over and down. Which is more mileage.
So we think, in actual fact, it's 250.
Yes.
Pammy obviously is a regular long-distance walker, but Sue, have you ever walked further than 4 or 5 miles?
No. Well, we've been in practice since September on a Saturday. I've gone out once a week. And we've built up from 4 miles, and we've managed to get up to 16. Chris has done more, and she's been walking in Derbyshire in the week. I work.
Oh, that sounds quite good. Yes, I am retired.
She's jealous. Don't worry about it.
But I did hill walking in the Derbyshire Dales with some friends in the walking club. But this, it doesn't prepare you for this. This is just so mountainous. The lakes are beautiful, but this is really mountainous.
Just explain about the section we're going to do today, because this is one of your shortest sections on the whole walk, actually, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's a mere 8 miles and a mere just short of 2,000 feet that we're going to go up today.
That's 8 miles as that mythical crow flies.
It's the mythical, as the crow flies, absolutely. As Sue says, you know, we're not taking into account our undulations.
Oh!
And this undulation is going to take us up about 1,800 2,000 feet up over Grisdale Hawes and then down to Grisdale Tarn, and then we'll follow the Beck to Patterdale, our next destination.
And it's part of Wainwright's coast-to-coast walk, so any of the guidebooks will give you an idea, but if you want to follow it on the map, we're across two Ordnance Survey maps, Explorer OL5 and Explorer OL7, starting on 7. I just stopped to take my jacket off because it's really unnaturally warm, considering what the rest of this week's been like. The women have walked on ahead. Pammy said, oh, look, do you mind if we keep going? You'll catch us up, because what she likes to do is get them into a rhythm, and they do walk very steadily. They've both got, well, all three of them have got two poles each. Chris is in shorts and a vest. Sue is a bit more conservative and has got black trousers on, white T-shirts, and Pammy next to them is absolutely tiny, and there's nothing of her. She's obviously incredibly strong and has this amazing energy. I mean, just from the first minute you meet her, and I can see how she inspires women around her and says, look, come on, you can do anything. You can do anything you want. Now, Chris, you explained how you met Hermit and you ticked her off for eating cake. But what made you decide to do this?
Well, I had a little niece that died when she was 2.5 with Mike Keffley. And,
which is that the brain disease?
It's a small skull.
Yeah.
So, bless her, she had quite a few disabilities. And she was the daughter of my youngest sister, Mandy. I was thinking, it's something I've always wanted to do. But also, what a good idea to be sponsored and do it to get some money for the disabled children. It was just that when we first met Pammy and you know, I said to her that I'd like to do something, the first thing she actually said to me was, why don't you then? And I thought, oh, that's unusual, because people usually say, oh, really? You know, but Pammy said, well, why don't you then? There's nothing stopping you.
But for you personally, how much of an achievement and how much does this prove to yourself or to anybody else? I can do this.
I can't explain to you what a big achievement this is. I've always been quite athletic, right from being young. But, you know, you have the children and the children grow up and you tend to think to yourself, well, that's it now, it's just a normal everyday existence. You know, you get up in the morning, you do whatever you've got to do. But niggling at the back of my mind, there's always been something that I would really like to do, something that I can look back on and say, I did that. I did the coast to coast. 191 mile as the crow flies. So.
And it's not as if you're saying I did that when I was 25.
No, I did that when I was 60. Or as Pammy keeps telling me, I'm a geriatric. You know, the kids are so proud. You know, my son and daughter said, oh, Mum, we're so proud of you. My husband's really proud. So, and that keeps you going.
Well, I was going to say, that's fine. I get that now. I understand with you. But Sue, you decided to come along.
Yes.
For 20 days.
And you've 14 days it is.
Oh, it's 14. Oh, 14. I got it wrong earlier.
Okay. Yes.
So 14 days of this, walking day after day. Did you know what you were letting yourself in for?
Not really, no. Although Pammy sent us an itinerary and we knew it was going to be tough and we have been practicing, but not up like this. So we've been practicing on little pimple hills, we call them now. And I just managed to go over the pimple hill a month before we came without stopping.
Fantastic.
Yes.
You're married, aren't you?
Yes.
What does your husband make of this?
Well, I don't think he believed me to start with. There wasn't much enthusiasm there. But now he is. He's getting me sponsors while I'm away as well, because I'm doing it for breast cancer with the city hospital. But until I'd actually got here and done my first mountain, I was having doubts, but that just went away. I wouldn't give up now. I shall go to the end now. It doesn't bother me now.
Oh, look at the little sheep. Oh,
I think they're called lambs. Pammy's not very caring about the sheep. Every time we see the lambs and everything, and we go, oh, Lord, oh, that's really cute. Look at, and Pammy, the first thing she said is, I'm having his sister tonight. mint sauce. That's not nice, is it? So I think at the end of this, Pammy deserves just a slight slapping.
Thank you.
You terrible person. And we were going to sing to you today as well. She's a star, superstar.
Have you and Sue known each other since you were at school?
No. I've known Sue for about 12 years. It was when I started working as a community care assistant. And Sue was my senior. So we got to know each other there.
So, what's it?
How can you be a senior to Chris? She was a brilliant senior, actually. A very caring Pammy, a very caring person was Sue. And that's how we met and obviously got to be friends as well as work companions. And it's gone on since. And if I want to do anything that's a little bit strenuous, I know Sue will come with me.
Right, I don't mind if you get your feet wet here. All right,
right.
I don't want any dramatic scenes,
no,
right? It's just
today.
A little vet crossing.
Not today.
The path that we're taking, and Pammy is continuing to set this very steady pace.
Exactly.
Having done ramblings for as long as I have, I wish I'd learned that trick a bit earlier. but we're just crossing another beck. The path rises steeply up, and actually all that we can see around us are the sides of the hill that we're climbing and the stone walls and the sheep. And only when you turn back do you get a view, but eventually we'll get high enough that we should be able to see the whole of Grasmere and probably around to Windermere as well.
Like yesterday we stopped before we did the big climb.
Yes.
Now we've got the climb, but we'll stop at the tarn, at Grisdale Tarn. It's a lovely spot.
Okay.
We've had a little bit of a later start, a good breakfast, yes. So we'll just carry on going for about another hour.
Yeah, yes, Chief.
Okay. I like to know that you do as you're told.
Yes, Chief.
Doing as I'm told.
Now then, what were we singing yesterday?
Yes, actually it was High on the Hill is a lonely goat and
okay, well, do you want to have a break for a bit?
Oh,
and I'll just show you where you've been.
Yes, please.
Look around.
Wow.
Oh, God.
It's beautiful.
It is amazing. Because you suddenly, having been climbing the way we have, your back's at a slight angle, really.
Right.
You're only looking at the path and at the hill ahead of you.
Yeah. Exactly.
You stop and turn round.
Oh, absolutely breathtaking. It's just, the mountains are, colours are magnificent. And there's a lake just at the bottom. What's that lake called?
Grasmere. That's Grasmere.
That's Grasmere at the bottom. And the colours and... Plus, the cars are little dots on the road. And that's how far we've come up. So, again, an achievement, and we're not at the top yet.
Well, the colours are lovely because the sun's shining on some of the mountains. So you're getting dips of different colours, the greens, the browns, the darker greens, and the trees in the valley.
I've known this area for 25 years and I love it. You know, I've just moved to the Highlands and I come back and this is my work, and you know, it just takes me to another place and I just love it. But I want to show the women where they came from yesterday, because way over there you can see the Coniston Fells.
Yes.
And just to the right of it, over there's a dip in the mountains.
I thought we walked
You had walked all the way from over in that direction.
Yes.
And beyond those mountains over there is the sea where you walked from.
Yes.
So this is our fourth day, and in 4 days you've walked over here.
Standing here, you know, on this mountain, I can't believe that I'm here and doing it. Yes, I'm here and I'm doing it.
And you went through those mountains.
You know, there's hundreds of people have done this. And walkers and people that's used to it and people that just say, oh, yes, we've done the code. But for me and Sue, to achieve this, if we get to the end, is just... Awesome.
I mean, you know, Pammy's been brilliant. She's really helped us. I couldn't have done it without Pammy. I would never come up here without a guy.
No way.
Sit down on that rock. Chris, sit down on the rock.
I can't get down that far. I'm not that young.
It is like watching comedy, because Chris has now stripped her shorts off. She's down to her underpants. And Sue is helping her put her waterproof trousers on. And Pammy has a very tolerant but slightly admonishing tone, which is basically, get on with it, would you? There's an awful lot of laughter there, and they are enjoying it. They really are.
Oh, no.
What, are your trousers on now? Do you
want to
do the zip-up?
See, she's talking like this now.
Do you want to do this yet? Do you want to do your zip-up? Because you've got to look good out here, because you never know who I might be. This is my terrain right here. All right. You two are taking part. I'm still single.
You know when we go walk every Saturday, she comes back perfect. She comes dressed perfect, everything's washed and ironed and that. Sometimes I don't do my waterproofs or my boots. She goes home, she washes her boots, she lets them dry, she sprays them, her hair's all gelled, or we look like we're going to a party. I think we're altering a bit now on the fourth day.
I do like the pink of the headband with the gentle russet orangey pink tone of your hair.
Yes.
It's very good, very fetching.
Yes, it is. It's quite cool. You know, as we walkers say.
But not as cool as me, alright?
Oh, go away.
As we walkers. Do you now class yourself as a walker?
Oh, yes, most definitely, yes. A hardened walker, fell runner, cliffhanger.
Hey. Another one bites the dust.
Yep.
Lots of hugging and kissing going on. Do you get hugs and kisses when you get to the top of the hill?
Yes, always.
Yes.
Every time we get to the top, Pammy always gives us a big hug to say, that's great, that's another one down. Another one bites the dust.
I'm glad we've had the wind behind us and not against us.
Oh, yes.
We've come up over the top now, and there's a tarn in front of us, which if you didn't know it was natural, you would think that was a man-made reservoir, just sitting in the bowl of the hills around. And there is something wonderfully raw and bare about this landscape. There's nothing manicured in it. There are no flowers, there are no trees, there are no little hedgerows.
It looks deserted, except for all these little spots everywhere, moving, as in a quest.
We're going to stop, find a place out the wind and have some lunch. And then we're going to head down Grisdale Beck, which is to your right, down this valley here, all the way down to Patterdale. And we'll have a quick, our lunch number one here.
Yes.
A quick aperitif.
Don't quit it.
Is this lunch or is this coffee?
This is anything. Lunch. We have about three lunches in the day.
Right. Okay. Tammy, have you got that pint bottle of whiskey I gave you this morning?
Can you remember it from when you were a child? Do you remember about how you felt?
As a child, I didn't get introduced to the mountains until I was 16.
And when did you know that your life was going to be an outdoor life and that walking was going to be such a big part of it?
It was the Brecon Beacons, and it was two teachers, and they took me up into the mountains, and I remember saying to myself, this is what I want to do in my life. I want to live in the mountains. But I also thought that there's no way would that ever happen. I'm an Asian girl. My parents will probably want me to get married, be a doctor or a lawyer or something like that, something they could understand, and would not really want me to be out here in the mountains because I just couldn't understand it. But I would just take off. I remember after that trip, I was at Ballet Youth Hostel, and there was a job going as an assistant warden. And I asked, I said, can I have it? And they obviously talked to the teachers and said, yes, you can have it. And I went home to my parents and said, I'm going to go to Bala to work at this youth hostel. And they're like, no, you can't, because Indian girls don't do that. And I remember packing my bags and saying goodbye to my parents, me folks, and just going to this youth hostel to work.
What are you giggling about, you two? The hail's coming down.
That's what I'm talking about. What? We're sitting here and it's hailing. You know, we're sitting having a picnic, you know, in the middle of nowhere.
Huddled up together
like sheep. I'm trying to sort coffee out for you, dear, so that you can have a coffee and get my gloves out and everything else. And then all of a sudden it starts hailing.
Right, from here on in, it's all downhill. I can see now why people do the coast-to-coast walk from west to east, because the wind is behind you. And it's a pretty strong wind. You know, the climb up was hard, but it's times like this you realise that coming downhill is much more difficult and more dangerous. And Sue and Chris are just picking their way with their poles either side down behind Pammy. And the wind is so strong, if you stop for a second and a big gust comes along, it feels like it's going to blow you off the side of the hill. But it's, you know, they've got another 10 days of walking to do. They can't afford a twisted ankle or anything sprained. We seem so far to be slightly getting away with it with the weather. We had a slight hailstorm earlier. We've had a few spots of rain. The sky behind us looks very angry, but the sky ahead of us is sort of tantalizingly holding out this sunny hand saying, come this way. And the sun keeps moving further down the valley.
It's moving the goalposts, definitely. But if you have a look up, you can actually see the blackness behind us and all around us. And I actually think we're just in a little pocket that's kind of teasing us a little bit. And it won't be long before we have our full waterproofs on and a bit of drenching.
Oh, don't say that. You see, I'm an optimist and I think hope is a great part of walking. And because we're going towards the sun, I am ever hopeful.
Oh, I'm gonna be right with you then. I'll be right with you. This is Westlake Lodge, and what we were doing here is that we've brought groups up here with Outward Bound and they spend the night here, and they've redone this place, and it's an absolutely superb place to stay. It's a really nice community. We've got a lovely bedding space at the top and a good eating place and a kitchen, so you know, people just hang out together.
So next year, me and you, Rothwaite Lodge.
I will tell you something. Do you know this plaque and this guy that it's dedicated to the memory of? This guy, Mike Evans, changed my life.
Did it?
I promise you. I came on the Outward Bound at Ullswater when I was 17, from school, and he was my instructor. And because of him and because of what he taught me to do and the team, you know, I was there with all those school friends, he gave me the most amazing, he was just an incredible leader, but he gave me a really good report. And when I went back to school, that the next term they made me head of house on the strength of what he had said. And I was a real rebel, I was a terrible chopper before that. And then they made me head girl, and then they basically gave, because of him, and he died, he was killed in New Zealand, and they've put this plaque up.
How old was he then when he died?
Oh God, he'd have only been 25, 26 when he took us, so he was 27, I'd say, when he died. And I remember hearing it because it was only 6 months after we'd been, and somebody rang me and said, "Did you know that Mike Evans has been killed?" And I really, you know, you just sort of go, no, I can't believe that. No. He was invincible. Oh. He could do anything. He had his abs sailing down these rocks, and you know, and you'd put up a you'd do anything for him because he because he asked you to.
Yeah.
And I hadn't realised they'd done this. That's really amazing.
Oh.
Go on.
Having a moment.
Yeah, you sing along or do something.
Having a moment.
Towards the Hell Valley Ridge there. See that lot there?
Yeah.
Right, that's part of the mass there, and it goes right the way around the corner. And
you're just pointing out to them, Pammy, to not stop looking around, because actually one of the dangers is you get into conversation, or you get, if the wind is blowing and your head comes down, or if you keep plodding, you forget to take in the scenery around you. And it is so dramatic here,
isn't it?
And so it feels so close, you feel so much part of it when you're walking in it.
I think being out on a journey, particularly of this nature, where it's multi-days, you know, they're going to be walking like this for 2 weeks, and they're getting so much out of it. Their whole life will be put into perspective.
And what was your background? You explained that you went to, you announced to your parents that you couldn't live the life that they might have expected you to lead. You were going to live an outdoor life. You wanted to work in the countryside. What persuaded you to take up guided walks? And also the theme of empowerment and the sort of walks that you do that are more than about covering the ground.
Well, working with women, particularly Asian women, I just think that the outdoors has given me so much. Why can't I offer it to other people? And particularly women, and particularly to my own community and my own women. And that's been, the work that I do is driven by that.
Hiya.
Just these two you're all right.
There
we are.
you're making friends all along the way, aren't you? That's about the third group that we've met that you know.
Yes.
And what was your parents' reaction then when you said to them, "Look, I'm not going to lead the life that you had planned for me"?
You know, I can remember that when I did this. I did this after I did a solo trip in Nepal. I took off just me and my backpack for 3 months, and I trekked in the winter in the Solo Cumbrera, the Everest region, and the Annapurna region. And then I saw my grandma, I went to India, and I saw my grandma for the first time at 101. And I came back and I gave my entire family a slideshow. So that was a turning point, a massive turning point. And I remember my dad grabbing me and saying, "Pam, from today onwards, I'm going to listen to you."
And what about the rest of your family now? Have they come around to respecting your choice?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. My nephews, Simran and Taryn, call me Pahari Masi. Pahari means mountain, and Masi means auntie. So, you know, they know me as mountain auntie.
So when you're organising walks for Asian women in particular, how do you make allowances to make sure they're comfortable?
Great. Actually, when we say allowances to make sure that they're comfortable, they're allowances for any individual that comes on any of my trips. And that is that their basic needs are met. You know, right now we've got two women right here, and their basic needs on a night is to have a good wash, have some good food that they enjoy, and to wear what they want to wear. So I make sure all my clients get that. And for Asian women, or Asian men, or African Caribbean men or women, it's about, well, what is it that you need to wear? And for particularly for Asian women, some of them, it's about being able to wear the salwar kameez, traditional dress. And there's no reason why you can't wear traditional dress and still come out into the outdoors if that's important. We have thermals that we can put on underneath. We can still get our waterproofs on top of that, and we can still wear our hats and our gloves and stay warm and comfortable and safe.
with regards to food as well, you know, it doesn't have to be the bog standard sandwich that you get out on the hill. You know, you can have your bronte, you can have whatever you want, really, whatever you're comfortable eating, you can have your own traditional food.
And as we walk on this path, which actually is the most comfortable part of the walk so far today, because we're relatively flat, we've got a dry stone wall to our left, trees beyond us and the floor of the valley with the fells rising up beyond, and the rain seems to have threatened us and then gone away again. Look at her, she looks like a glamour girl.
She does!
With her big gold hoop earrings and a pink.
I said, we're not taking any jewellery, we've got the watch on, we've got the bangle, we've got
and
the
And her nails! Her nails are all done!
She's had her nails done, she's had them extended.
I've climbed and scrambled up mountains, but the nails are still alright.
I said, how can you go walking looking like that?
I can't believe that at the end of the day, I still feel like I could do it again.
Oh, glamour.
Which is lucky, because
you're
lucky.
Exaggerating.
Right, we're on the home stretch for today. So although that was a steep climb, Pammy, that in terms of distance was one of the shorter sections.
Absolutely. It's 8 miles that they've done today. But tomorrow they're going to have quite a lengthy day. We'll be going over Curtsy Pike tomorrow, which is about 2,300-400 feet.
Presumably, in your planning, and you planned all this a long time ago, you've got to plan it for their bodies, for physically what they can cope with every day, but also what about emotionally, mentally, their expectations, because they're very high at the moment. You've both been, you know, very upbeat about it all and loving it so far, but presumably, Pammy, you must know from your experience, any group or any walker will go through a slight dip.
Yeah. And really, the way most people do the coast to coast this way round is you get the hardest part of the journey over and done with at the first. When people are enthusiastic, the first day I have a look at how they're walking to see if they really have done the training. And actually, Chris had done the training and I was dead straight with Sue. Is that right, Sue?
Yeah.
Dead straight saying, Sue, I have a little bit of a concern about your level of fitness for this journey. And she just looked at me and said, sod off, I'm fit enough and I'm going to do it. And, you know, that's it. The big part is about if the motivation and the drive is there, I'm willing to support that.
And can you tell within a couple of days whether people are going to make it or not?
Yeah.
And your feeling about them is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They'll get a good whipping if they don't, or a good slapping. But I have every expectation at least they will walk, go up to Robin Hood's Bay with grins on their faces.
I feel like that.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly how I feel. Today has been quite, I found it quite easy actually, Pammy, today.
Yeah.
And like she said to us, each day that comes along, you'll find that you feel fitter. So by the end, the last day is 19 mile. And, you know, we said, 19. She said, by the time you get to that last day, 19 mile, you will sail through it. And I feel that we will.